Hello and welcome to the Total Football Soccer Show, Richmond's first, only, and therefore best soccer talk show. I'm Taylor, and I've once again got Josh and Albert in studio to discuss technology and the beautiful game, microchips, replays, 3D broadcasts, the introduction of the NBA Jam rules, and a whole lot more on this week's Total Football Soccer Show. Okay, so once again, we have Albert and Josh in studio with us. Say hello, Al.
How's it going, guys?
And say hello, Josh.
Hello, Radioland.
All right. So now, obviously, we've seen some controversy when it comes to officiating this season. We've seen some questionable goals, some questionable cards, and obviously a questionable situation in the World Cup qualifier between France and Ireland, Thierry Henry and his handball, whatnot. So before we get into our discussion of technology and football, I'm wondering what you guys' favorite bungled call was, or I guess is.
Okay.
So we'll go with Albert first. You got one?
Yeah. 2002 World Cup. Round of 16, South Korea is playing Italy, and Francesco Totti receives, I believe it was his second yellow in the match for diving,
so
he got a red card. And if you look at replays, one, he may have gotten fouled, and two, there was certainly enough contact there to warrant him falling down. So his sending off, which kind of effectively ended Italy's 2002 World Cup, was a pretty bad call.
Yeah, was it Trapattoni at the time that was coaching them?
Yeah, just
Trapattoni,
lashed out.
I remember him almost attacking the fourth official. If he hadn't been behind plexiglass wall, could have been problematic. Yeah, and I was furious about that one. I yelled at my TV for a good long while. All right, so that's a good one. Josh, what about you?
This is an obvious one that I think most people have heard of before. It's the hand of God. It's Maradona.
Uh-huh.
It's the 86 World Cup against England. And the problem with this one is if you look back at it, everyone sees it as like he handled, obviously. Why couldn't the refs get it? Look where the refs are. They really don't have a view at all.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
it's not that the refs are out of position. It's just the way when you have three referees, you can't see everything.
Yeah. Yeah, so Maradona goes up for the header. Keeper comes out. If you haven't seen it, you should look it on YouTube because it's obviously pretty famous. And he just kind of taps it over with his fist.
For me, one of the best things about that moment is that that was the same game where Maradona scored maybe the most memorable in terms of the best goal ever, and that's just the type of player he was.
So he beats the entire English team for one goal and then beats the rules for another one. All right, not bad there, but I think I'm going to select mine as the winner here.
Selfish.
That's just how I roll. All right, mine is from a match in Brazil's Paulista Football Federation. I'm sure you guys have heard about it. It was their cup in 2006. Atletico Sorocaba, that's probably terribly pronounced, but whatever, were leading 1-0 when a player from their opponent, Santa Cruzense, took a shot that went wide of the goal. The ball boy slowly, and I mean like very slowly, if you watch the YouTube video, just kind of walks around and he taps the ball into the goal instead of passing it to the goalkeeper. Referee Silvia Regina de Oliveira clearly wasn't paying attention. Thought she made a mistake because the shot had gone wide, but maybe it didn't. So she awarded the goal to Santa Cruzense, even though obviously it hadn't gone in. So the game ends in a 1-1 draw, and the referee and the linesman were suspended. But to me, that's just... it's pretty brilliant there. And we've seen a couple of those this season, actually, or in seasons past, with goals that didn't appear to go in that were magically rewarded. I'm thinking of
Reading,
the Reading game.
Yeah,
that was pretty ridiculous. So, obviously, there's some, we've touched on these goals here where the referee, maybe it's human error. Italy's always surrounded by refereeing problems, so maybe it's not. But my question is, I guess, what do we think of the state of officiating in, the beautiful game?
Well, like I touched on earlier, I think when you have only three refs, mm-hmm. one that runs the whole field and two that have a half to themselves, the pitch is quite large in soccer.
Mm-hmm.
There's 11 players that you have to watch on both teams at all times. It's a real hard job, particularly at the speed they play internationally or at the top flight levels.
Yeah, and I think that it's like any sport where because the refereeing is usually, in big games, in big leagues, in the World Cup, in the Euro tournament, things like that, because the refereeing is held at such a high standard, when you see those mistakes, they're under that microscope even more so than they would be if the level of officiating was bad overall. So I think it's almost like, the refs have created a situation where they've done such a good job 99% of the time. It's just that 1% of the time where they get it horribly wrong that is a glaring example of what's wrong with officiating.
Yeah, I think two things to say about that. The first is I think, you see it in any sport, but I feel like soccer, especially, playing it, you see it a lot. you know, a referee makes a bad call, because I've been an official, I've messed up a call, and then you're in your head and you don't want to do it again, and then all of a sudden it happens again, and all of a sudden everyone's yelling at you, and obviously that's just, you know, referring like 11-year-olds, obviously not in Old Trafford where it's 75,000 people. And so you saw this season, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson accused I can't remember which referee it was, but he accused him of being basically old and fat, that he couldn't keep up with the game anymore, and so, you know, you're seeing increased criticism of officials, and so obviously you're seeing you know, some pushes for technological changes. So I guess the three main ones would be goal line technology, additional officials, referees, and then the third one would be instant replay. I think the one that's been most, you know, thrown around and most discussed would be goal line technology. Josh, what do you know about that whole debate?
Well, first of all, the goal line technology, if you've watched hockey ever and they have the whole red light scenario when the puck goes in the net,
yeah,
the red light goes off. And that's obviously what soccer is looking for with the goal line technology.
Mm-hmm.
But they plan to do it with a chip, a microchip in the ball. And I don't want to get too scientific, because you might think if the whole ball has to get,
because you're
over,
not a scientist? Or
hey, you don't know that. I don't want to get too scientific, because as you might know, it's going to be a microchip in the ball. So how would one microchip detect if the whole ball is over the line or not?
Mm-hmm.
From what I have read and heard, they have a way of doing this, so let's just accept it. Let's just say that they do.
Yeah, scientists at the Fraunhofer Institute for Integrated Circuits, I'm sure you've all heard of that in your daily life. They've been working on it for a couple of years now, and it's a chip that feeds to a central computer, which feeds like to a referee's, like, kind of like a watch.
Wristwatch.
And it's like maybe updates like 100 times a second as to the location of the ball, and mm-hmm. it can actually track players as well, and then their little shin guards.
Yeah, and that is the main way they've looked. And I think what this would do is, there are certain games that we've all either heard about or seen, like the England-West Germany game, where the ball just hits the crossbar and goes straight down and back up. And it's called a goal, but no one really knows whether it was a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would help with that. Or when the balls are cleared off the line, there's, let's say, like 7 or 8 bodies just flying around there. Even if you had extra refs, I don't know if they could be able to see that.
Okay. So Al, what do you think about goal line technology? Do you think that's something...
I think that given the stakes of some of the highest level of competition in soccer, that when it comes to probably the biggest thing, I mean, it is the biggest thing in a game, a goal being scored, that if you have the technology to know for certain whether or not the whole ball has crossed the line,
mm-hmm.
and you can do it without really affecting the speed or the tempo of a game, you know, if it's every, you know, 100 times a second it goes to the referee's watch, mm-hmm. and he just, you know, a red light flashes on his watch or whatever, you know, what have you, then I think it's definitely something that needs to be looked into, and hopefully something that'll be implemented, because some of these games, it's just, there's a lot on the line for a lot of different people in a lot of different situations. So it's mm-hmm. just, if you can do it, I think it's a good idea.
Josh, what about you?
On the same lines, these games, people don't like to admit it, but there's a lot of money involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting the call right, it's crucial. And if they can do it and they say it doesn't change the flight of the ball or anything, then mm-hmm. I think... Obviously, I have to make sure it's 100% accurate, because if it's not, then that's just going to create bigger problems. But as long as it's accurate, then yes. Yeah.
Now, we'll get into this a little bit later when we talk about instant replay. But one of my questions is, and I don't mean to sound like the ugly American or anything like that, but you mentioned it in hockey and, you know, obviously basketball, football, they all have this kind of system. My question is, do you think maybe Americans are more prone to accept these kind of technological innovations because it's kind of been, you know, it goes in line with the development of the sport, whereas maybe, you know, football in England has been around for 140 years.
I don't think it's as much that as maybe some of the innovations. I don't think the instant replay is as much that as just flow of the game. But like I said, we're going to talk about that later.
Okay.
I think that in terms of goal line technology, that while it may seem like kind of an American idea, I believe in rugby they have a technology that's similar to that
mm-hmm.
that doesn't seem to affect much of the flow of the game, and it's you know, it's radioed into the head match official, and then they know that there's been a touch. So I think that maybe Europeans would be accepting, or you know, the older soccer generation would be accepting of that. But I think it's a very interesting point that, you know, the game's been around for such a long time. Where's that tipping point where purists go, no, that's just too much?
See, I get tired of all this just because it seems like literally every year a goal either is scored or isn't scored. And, you know, there's all this uproar about, you know, we've got to do it. We finally got to do it. And yet every time it's come up for a vote, you know, FIFA, since like 1990 is like the first one that I read about being proposed, FIFA shot it down every single time. And it just doesn't seem like there's really that much of a push for it to change. So maybe there's not that much of a problem, but it seems like there's certainly some resistance to the idea.
Well, if you compare it to American sports, again, not to harp on this, it's much more baseball-like considering, I guess, it's just the tradition again. And everyone, it's such a slippery slope for both those sports. I think both sides are just scared to go down it.
Yeah, I agree with that because, like, the other thing I was reading about with the tracking technology is that you could, you know exactly how long players would run and where they'd run. And so you could, you know, see statistically, mathematically, who was being lazy and who wasn't. And I think, to some extent, that's more of an American idea. Like, you look at baseball. Baseball, it used to be just, like, home runs, strikeouts, that kind of stuff. And, like, VORP, I don't even know what VORP is. And I know something about stats.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe there's some resistance to it because there's this feeling that, you know, statistics are an American idea. It's an American way to follow sports.
Well, statistics also break down the magic of the sport in some people's minds. It makes it more of a mathematical game than of just this art that these players are still doing in the field.
Fair enough.
I think.
Okay, so I guess that's it for goal line technology. The other innovation that I guess has been discussed would be the addition of more officials or referees.
Yeah, and that's been dubbed by FIFA the additional assistant referees experiment, and its biggest proponent has been Michel Platini.
That was a lot of words you just said.
And so what's happening is in this year's Europa League, which is basically a second-tier Champions League throughout Europe, they're adding one official at each goal, and that official is going to be positioned on the goal line opposite of where the linesman is, so it gives them a different vantage point. And the idea behind it is that it gives you a quote-unquote human camera at each goal. So it's just adding an extra set of eyes. And I think the most important thing for it is that what you get out of that is seeing a different perspective, you know, especially for penalties and things like that, because you generally speaking have the referee trailing a play and he may not get the best vantage point of collisions that happen in the box. So then you have, you know, a different perspective from the goal line assistant, and then he's going to radio into the referee that he saw something happen like that. One of the more interesting things, though, is that there's this idea that's been floated by Platini that it's going to help deter certain other infringements or, you know, like simulation, anything like that.
Gotcha. Okay. And two quick questions. Firstly, so is the guy just like standing next to the goal? Is he like, you know, a foot away from the keeper? Like, are they talking when the ball's at the other end?
Well, he's on the outside of the post. Okay. On the opposite side from the AR, I've seen some YouTube clips of it and some still photos. It looks pretty interesting, I guess.
Okay, and then the second question, we talked about a little bit before, but it's like if you're trying to speed up the get rid of play and, you know, not have slowdowns or delays, is adding another person on the sideline or adding two more people, is that really going to be the best way? Because aren't you just going to have all them like conferring and, you know, I saw this and I saw this and it's going to be one big ball of chaos?
Interesting that you bring that up. It's not the extra officials on the goal line have no actual call-making ability, unlike assistant referees,
so
who can
like
call offsides. Basically, they're there to consult in certain instances, like penalty kicks or whether or not a ball's crossed the line, things like that. Mm. And they have radio technology with the match official. Okay. And so the idea is that they would be there to kind of talk to the referee about something that's happened. And I think the best thing that this would do for the game is that oftentimes, a referee is trailing a play when it goes into the penalty area because he has to cover such large ground. Mm-hmm. So if you have a defender and attacker bearing down on the goal and there's a confrontation in the box, you know, some type of collision, the referee on the goal line will see it from the perspective of the players coming at him. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, adding an extra set of eyes in that case is a pretty good idea.
I think the biggest thing it would help with would be, I guess, diving and trying to limit dives, because if the referee is trailing, it's these players are so good at diving now, it's hard to tell. So
that was actually one instance that was cited by Michel Platini was during this qualifying period for Champions League, Eduardo of Arsenal, Arsenal was playing Celtic and he appeared to dive in the penalty area, and they were awarded a penalty kick and Arsenal went on to win the tie. And, you know, had the the fifth or sixth, or had the fourth or fifth official been there, he would have had a perfect vantage point to see that, and maybe the call goes a different way. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that's actually a perfect segue into the third thing I think that really goes hand in hand with the technological debate is instant replay. And I think when people hear instant replay, they have a tendency to think of it in, you know, the NFL challenge sense. If you're going to throw out a red flag and the official is going to stop the game and review it, or, you know, of basketball where they're going to, you know, stop the whole game and see whether or not the shot was off in time. It's not really that, I don't believe, as much as it is, you know, it'd be for goals, maybe for offsides, and maybe, as you pointed out, for diving. And I guess that would mostly be, I think, after the match. I think most of the time instant replay would just be for goals scored, whether or not it went in, whether they were offsides, anything like that. And to me, that's not that big of a different deal, because in the time it takes for a player to, you know, run to the crowd, celebrate, get mobbed by his teammates, celebrate some more, trot slowly back to midfield, you could have already confirmed whether or not it was actually a goal.
Although I will say, would you love to see Fergie throw a red flag running down the sideline?
Oh, well, yeah, except he's like 68 now, so exactly. Him running anywhere is a little bit frightening. So to me, that makes sense. And then going along with what you were talking about diving, it might not help at the time. I mean, it depends on how technically you want to get. It would be, I guess, more of like a review thing, so that you could see, you know, disciplinary things. Like if a player dove, maybe that's worth a suspension. Maybe a player got into a fight off the field, the ref didn't see it. That's something that you could chastise him for.
So would you be saying that the dives would be looked at, say, the next day or after the game's over, and they got the PK already, the player would be suspended for X amount of games or something like that?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't change the game afterwards, obviously.
I think so, simply because the biggest complaint about instant replay would be that it would destroy the flow of the game.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that differentiates football or soccer from any other sport, is that you don't have the stoppages. It's basically continuously going. And so I think that you couldn't have a replay to be like, oh, yeah, he did dive. Okay, well, that took 2 minutes, and now we're back to playing.
What I was going to say, going back to that Eduardo example, actually, UEFA looked back at the video, noticed that in their eyes it was a dive, suspended him for 2 games, but then the suspension was appealed and not upheld.
Yeah.
So my question would be to you is just that do you know how extensive the review process of games is now, in terms of what can and cannot be reviewed? Or
I honestly don't really. I think a lot of times it comes down to the discretion of the particular football association or the footballing governing body of that league. And I think, you know, far be it for me to condemn an organization, you know, across the ocean. But from things I've heard, from things I've read, it seems like the FA can be at times be a little bit toothless. You know, so
yes.
You have Arsenal, who get in trouble for Eduardo diving. Arsenal's one of the biggest clubs in England, and, you know, can you handle them, you know, going against you? And it didn't seem like they could, because they appealed it. I think the larger question with replay would be, where do you stop? Because, you know, where does it go from being, you know, diving offsides goals to, well, was that a foul? Well, the referee didn't see that, and that kind of issue.
That's going to go right into what I was going to bring up.
What's
last
that?
World Cup, the Materazzi-Zidane situation.
Right. Yeah. For those who don't know, do you want to clarify?
It was the World Cup final, and I guess the ball had been cleared back down. Zidane was walking back, and him and Materazzi, the Italian, were jawing at each other. And then suddenly Zidane just puts a crucial headbutt into Materazzi's chest.
Perfect. Just absolutely perfect form.
Yeah, it really was. And Materazzi, it was just like, you could see the ribs go in. You could see him just flip backwards. It was pretty...
And I remember watching the game at the time, and all of a sudden the game has stopped, and none of us had a clue what's going on.
Yeah.
We're all sitting there, what happened? And apparently no ref saw the play. It was just replayed on the big board.
Yeah.
And they ended up giving Zidane a red card. And I'll be honest, I was in favor of the red card. I think he deserved it, but there's no precedent to give him a red card there when no referee actually saw it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that kind of – I heard a great quote from like the head of a referee association who said, "You have to look at soccer as being a human game. It's the greatest game, the people's game, and people make mistakes. If you sanitize football too much, you lose the beauty of the game." And maybe Materazzi getting headbutted isn't like the beauty of the game, but once you go down that road of, well, the referee didn't see it, but another guy in a booth saw it, and so he's getting a red, now all of a sudden it's like, well, the referee may not have seen that tackle, but we saw it in the booth. So you're kind of taking away the power from him. So I think that, to me, is a more – legitimate criticism than stopping the play or slowing down the game.
Yeah, and off that, Michel Platini, again, I hate to keep harping on him, but he is pushed forward with the extra official, but he has been very, very, very adamant in the idea that he does not want to see instant replay instituted mm-hmm. because he thinks it would take away the human element of the game.
Yeah.
And also another point that he makes is if you have it for every, you know, big game, every big tournament, well, mm-hmm. when do you stop it? Because yeah. you're going to have smaller leagues or smaller countries that can't afford yeah. to put in all these cameras and all this to have that technology available.
Yeah, I think like the Premier League was looking at installing Hawkeye. That was like the mm-hmm. newest goal line technology. Okay. And that would be $438,000 a stadium. So it's like, that's great for, you know, the Premier League, but what about League Two, which is essentially yeah, the fourth yeah. division in England? What about the Romanian second division? You know, mm-hmm. like where I agree. That was way to beat me to it, because that was going to be my big criticism and why the additional official actually makes more sense.
Makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so we've covered those three. I'm curious what you guys think are some of the other, you know, big technological innovations that maybe go unmentioned or don't quite get their due.
Well, I know as a viewer, a huge advantage of the new technologies, HD. I mean,
oh, so
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Just watching games in HD, it's so much crisper, so much clearer. And I know there's actually a lot of American fans that used to say you can't really see the ball, you can't see what the players are doing that much because the angle is so big.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the HD is superb in helping that out. You can see what their feet are doing at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As someone who has many recorded games from the days of pre-HD,
yeah.
it is a lot like night and day.
Mm-hmm.
It's so clear and so wonderful. And as a viewer, as a person who lives in the States, where when you're watching top class soccer, it's almost always via television. It is probably the best thing that's happened to me as a viewer of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else for you besides HD?
I would say just as a player, and you know, things like that. I would say just the way the advances of the actual soccer ball itself.
Yeah.
And you know, we talked about this a little bit amongst ourselves before the show, but what's really interesting about it is tactically, the game has seemed to turn more defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches seem to realize that it's much easier to prevent a team from scoring goals than to go out and play wide open, fluid soccer and try and score, you know, win games 4-3.
Yeah.
But the technological side of the game, you have these balls that you can, they just knuckle. They
yeah.
do crazy things. You can strike it so purely that you have, you know, players who maybe 30 years ago were still good soccer players, but they weren't, you know, experts at dead ball situations because
yeah.
they didn't figure out, you know, that if I hit, you know, a new ball this way, it's just going to dance, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to make a really bad pun here and say it's funny that you bring up the word dead ball, because in soccer, obviously, it's like a ball that's stopped for a free kick, something like that. But you look at the history of the ball, starting, I guess, like the most modern,
dead ball,
the first modern
yeah.
one was like 1855, with Charles Goodyear tires. He made the first one out of rubber. You know, there was innovation after that, obviously, so it got to the point where you'd cover it with leather and you had the rubber bladder, but it wasn't very good leather, and so it would soak up, and you had a lot of players getting severe head injuries because
yeah.
the ball would
yeah.
be so heavy, they try to head it, and didn't work out so well. So, yeah, yeah, I guess a little bit of the dead ball thing definitely plays in there, and I'd go off that as well with just general equipment. I mean, you
yeah.
go from...
Cleats,
yeah, I guess it's
and
the same
jerseys.
In any sport that you go from basketball players wearing chucks
yeah.
to now they have, you know, their own shoes. Same thing with soccer. I mean... To go from big old leather boots that weigh, you know, a pound or so to, you know, Nike Mercurials that weigh, what, like 8 ounces? I think that's a slight difference.
Yeah.
Like,
and even for goalies, the goalie gloves now are just phenomenal compared to what they used to be. You're not sitting there. You're not just getting broken fingers left and right because these guys are rocking
mm-hmm.
shots. They've got those finger saves. It's helpful all around, obviously.
So now we've talked about all the great things. And obviously, you know, given the history of soccer, football, whatever you want, there have been some bad technological innovations. So... What would you say, Al, is the worst technological innovation in your opinion?
Okay, I mean it sounds kind of funny to say it, but in you know the age that we live in with all the information that we're privy to via the internet and all this, you know, that actually might be on a certain level my least favorite innovation in terms of soccer and a lot of things. Is that there's just 24 hours a day for these websites or for all these other reporting services to try and fill up, and so you have just ridiculous stories getting thrown out about players, their lives, you know, things that I think that probably either should be kept personal or you should just wait until you have the story
mm-hmm.
laid out in a concrete
yeah.
manner, and especially when it comes to the transfer rumor mill, you know.
Oh God.
Yeah,
yeah,
how many
it
times are you
ends.
Sitting there in the summer on a computer and you hear this story like you know, Ronaldo's gonna leave and go here, and then it turns out 24 hours later that was just someone who made that up, who like
yeah.
overheard a conversation somewhere. So I think that I love it because, in the States, you don't get as much access to things, but sometimes it's too much and I can't stand it.
Another type of innovation that's a blessing and a curse too is the healthcare.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's amazing what these players can do now, how quickly they can come back. Charlie Davis is a great example.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard, his recovery for America is coming along amazing.
Yeah, Charlie Davis is the one of the more promising American forwards who was injured horrifically in a car crash and was expected to actually maybe miss the whole World Cup, and now he's probably going to start training pretty soon and be back with his club by April, which is amazing.
But the downside of the healthcare is, I think a lot of us in America have seen all the steroids, the HGH, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to eventually, it already has started trickling into soccer, and how do you keep it out, or do you just say, let's roll with it?
So, those are definitely valid. I think the only one for me is just that Tommy Smith continues to have a broadcasting career.
Yeah.
That he's the fake Irish commentator who debuted to the English audience, and it didn't go well. So, yeah, Tommy Smith, drugs, and really, really loud blogs. I think those are all pretty pretty bad there. Okay, so we've discussed the good, we've discussed the bad. I'm wondering, so with all this innovation, you know, what's the future for the game? What's the future for football?
Yeah, I think that with all this innovation, we've touched on it. It's a double-edged sword. You have some great things. I think goal line technology is a good idea. I think maybe the extra official works. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the whole healthcare issue that Josh brought up, I think is a great one. So it's just, it's going to be a tricky thing to navigate, but hopefully soccer, and I think they've done a good job in the past, has, you know, navigates it pretty well, and hopefully it'll roll with it.
Mm. Along the same lines, the technology, you already mentioned the goal line, the technology with TV broadcast, they've mentioned 3D. I hope it doesn't get passed, but eventually I think it'll start coming more in play and we'll get used
4D?
To it.
4D? We're going to go to 4D?
4D, maybe in 60. You don't know.
It's like razor blades. Eventually we're just going to have like 14 on one unit.
And then one last thing for me. I think they're going to start having more statistics in the game, which I actually find interesting. I think it's fun to look at stuff like that.
All right. Well, for me, this is going to sound really self-serving, but I mean, you look at this program in the 24 shows we've done now, you know, we've discussed Latin American football, Russian football, Asian football, and I think that that's kind of the future for me. Is it's gonna expand. It used to be that West Ham, you know, you were only in a certain part of London did people support West Ham. Now you'll see West Ham jerseys over here in America, in maybe not in China, but you see Manchester United and Chelsea jerseys. And I think that's the future. Is, you know, I think Josh, you said it off air. Do local teams stay local, or does Manchester United become, you know, a Richmonders team, a person from San Francisco's team? I think to me that's the most intriguing aspect of football to come. All right, so with that said, if you guys see maybe like Major League Soccer, if they struggle, if they're going to implement one, you know, just ridiculous innovation, what's it going to be?
Well, I don't know if you've played this game or not, but NBA Jams, they would have the 4-point shots.
I think everyone who lived in the suburbs has played NBA Jam at some point, man.
So, anyways, maybe have a 2-point shot, you know, from 40 yards out, a 6-point shot from like the other 18.
I like that. I could actually see that happening, and I would enjoy it immensely. You got one?
The only thing I could think of is, you know, people want in the country talk about how the game's not high scoring enough. So you make the field bigger, and that opens it up, and then you probably would have a lot more scoring.
And a second ball.
Yeah, that's going to be mad. I want 2 balls on the field in 4D. 2 balls, 4D, 37 players, and we're good. That's it for me. All right, so good work, boys. Thanks for the information, and thanks for coming by.
Always. Always a pleasure.
It's always fun here.
So until next week, for Albert and Josh, this is Taylor saying, I promise you, Daryl is alive.